Our next case is 10-864, Couple to Couple League International Incorporated versus Richard Levin, the Tax Commissioner of Ohio. Mr. O'Rourke.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the Court. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. The issue in this case centers on whether Couple to Couple League used its property, specifically its administrative offices in its warehouse, exclusively for charitable purposes for the 2002 tax year, and thus whether it was entitled to an exemption from real property taxation. The Ohio Board of Tax Appeals 2-member majority erred in granting the exemption, and we would respectfully request that that decision be reversed as it is unreasonable and unlawful. Now, there are two lines of cases that help us decide how to resolve this case. The first line of cases explains that the dissemination of information for the betterment of mankind is traditionally regarded as charity. And that's from the True Christianity case, where the gentleman was distributing religious literature for free. The Herb Society case, where the organization was distributing information about herbs at cost or less. And there's a second line of cases, and explains that the element of charity is negated where the information is distributed at a price well above its cost, where the information consists of third-party items, and where little regard is given to the distribution of these items on a free or reduced fee basis. That's the Lutheran Bookshop case, the Zindorf case, the American Society of Metals. This case is analogous to those second line of cases. As the record confirms and is poignantly illustrated in Chairperson Margulies' dissenting opinion, the primary purpose of this property was to distribute Couple to Couple's message through the sale of merchandise, through books, DVDs, CDs, mugs, tote bags, for a fee. We do not believe this is charitable for the four following factors. Many of these items were sold at a price well above their cost that's set forth in the supplement on page 367 and 368. Indeed, a lot of these items are over 100% of their cost. Number two, many of these items are third-party items that are available elsewhere in the marketplace through such e-tailers as Amazon.com. At best, a de minimis level of these items were given away on a free or reduced fee basis to those that could not afford them. Indeed, in the majority of circumstances, the customers paid the quote-unquote rack rate.
Counsel, what's the relationship to the dollar amount for these items compared to the dollar amount it takes to sustain this operation?
Sure, Your Honor. Well, the case law looks into whether or not you're selling these at a cost or above or a cost or below, because it looks to the profit mechanism, which this court explained in the Seven Hills School. Profit is the excess received over and above.
But isn't this a de minimis a part of this operation?
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I think the core aspect of what they do is to distribute their message through the dissemination of information, but you have to pay for this information in order to understand their message. In the fourth point, Couple to Couple League undertook no proactive effort to communicate a practice or policy of providing these materials on a free or reduced fee basis to those that could not afford them. I'd like to turn to the
So is that what you're saying would be the charitable purpose, that there would have to be these materials offered for free before the exemption would be appropriate?
I'm not saying that everything has to be offered for free. We're asking for a flexible totality of the circumstances approach. The four factors that I consider, I think once you lump all four of those factors in together, it is not the case where they're using this property primarily for charitable purposes.
But if you look at the totality, as the Chief Justice said, you have to look at what other services they're providing, and the revenue from the sale of these goods in proportion to the overall budget to sustain the program, it would be de minimis, wouldn't it?
Well, Your Honor, they recorded a loss in the first 3 years, and they recorded a profit in the last 2 years. And I'm not saying that a profit or loss standing alone is determinative or controlling of the issue. It's what they're doing with the revenue that they're bringing in, and we know what they're not doing with that revenue. They're not using it to provide these materials, as it was in the True Christianity case, the Herb Society case, at cost or less. in the overwhelming majority of circumstances, they were charging the rack rate for these items. And as this court explained in the Planned Parenthood case, charity is the good faith attempt to benefit in advance mankind in general, or a particularized needy subset of mankind in general, without regard for their ability to supply that need from other sources, and without the hope or expectation of gain or profit by the donor of the instrumentality of that charity.
So, but there is no profit being made here.
Well, sure there is. If you look at Supplement 367, 368, you can look at the list of the cost versus the actual selling price.
In the big picture, the overall budget of this entity, couple to couple, are they making a profit?
Well, we have 2002, they did not. 03 and 04, I don't believe they did. And 05 and 06, they did. It was roughly $50,000 or $60,000. We're not saying that a profit or a loss.
Out of a $1.5 million budget?
Excuse me?
That was a $50,000, what you call profit out of a $1.5 million budget?
That's what they recorded on their Form 990 is what is the...
Why is that not de minimis?
$50,000 or $60,000. We're just saying it is a profit. And again, we're not saying that a profit or a loss standing alone is determinative or controlling of the issue. We're asking to look at the totality, and what they're doing is selling third-party merchandise. They're marking it up above its cost.
And weren't they using that to offset the deficit that they incurred, and the balance came from donations?
Well, the donations, Your Honor, I mean, the receipt of proceeds, as the court explained in the Seven Hills School, is not an inherently charitable act. It's actually the use of the property. As a matter of federal law, 501c3 requires the money to be put back into the operation, but we know that they're not undertaking any proactive attempt to distribute these items on a free or reduced fee basis.
But if somebody can't pay, they do offer it on reduced fee, don't they?
Well, I'd like to address that. Their constitution does say that nobody shall be denied attendance at one of these classes for an inability to make a financial contribution. Now, that statement, unless you were rooting around in their articles of incorporation or possibly on the Secretary of State's website, I don't know how you would ever come to know that. At all times relevant to this appeal, they were conducting their business through the Internet. That was never posted on their website. And indeed, 5 months before the hearing before the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals, they did create a policy, and yet again, that policy was never posted on the website. We are just simply asking for them to advise people proactively that may need these services that, hey, financial assistance is available. They did not undertake any proactive effort to communicate that policy to potential customers. I'd like to address the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals two-member majority decision, particularly 2 points. At page 6 of the decision, the majority concedes that very little information was presented about how this property was being used. Now, that's actually not really true. If you turn to the dissent, excuse me, the dissenting opinion recites chapter and verse how this property was being used. But at the very least, I think it's peculiar that the majority could find that very little information was presenting regarding how this property was used, yet grant an exemption that's premised on the use of property for charitable purposes. At the very least, I think they failed to apply the strict construction principles that have been embedded in this court's jurisprudence as far back as 1850, the Cincinnati College case, where the court said tax exemptions are strictly construed because they're in the derogation of rights of all other taxpayers and place a heavier burden on the non-exempt. And the second reason that I'd like to get into with this majority decision is at page 9 of the decision, where they explain that this case is remarkably similar to Girl Scouts. The majority thought its hands were bound by this case. We would submit that the opposite is the case. This case is remarkably dissimilar to the Girl Scouts case. The store at issue in that case was an incidental aspect of the operations. They were not selling any third-party merchandise. The Girl Scouts were not even required to purchase the merchandise. As Justice O'Donnell explained in that opinion, it existed as a mere accommodation to the Girl Scouts. Now let's contrast that with the fact pattern we have here. The property here is not being used as an incidental way of distributing their message. It is the core activity of what this property is being used to do, is to sell information, merchandise. on a price that is well above its cost.
And overall, though, is it with a view to a profit?
Well, Your Honor, in the Seven Hills School case, the court took a very narrow definition of what profit is. Profit is defined as the excess received over and above the cost of purchasing, marketing the item, and the line items are in the 990, and they are generating a profit. It's about $250,000 of a year on the sale of the merchandise. It's about $250,000 of a year on the instructional classes. And again, we're not saying that a profit
is — That's the amount that is sold, or that's the amount of profit?
No, the amount that was sold was over $500,000, and once you account for costs, it boils down to about $250,000 in profit. And again, we're not saying that profit is determinative, but I think once you see this dollar volume, it shows you what the core activity is of what this property is being used for.
I thought the core activity was to provide instruction, service instruction. And as I looked at the record, over $1.5 million had been expended in service, in program service expenses. Some smaller portion of that came from the sale of the instruction manuals, but the sale of the manuals wasn't the mainstay of what this organization was doing, was it?
Sure, Your Honor. I think that's about half right. The activity is indeed distributing information, but it's tethered to the exchange of money for that information in the overwhelming majority of circumstances.
But the income is generated generally from contributions. Clearly, approaching $1 million.
I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, I'm trying to understand your argument when you say that the main thrust of what this organization does is to sell booklets or materials, and the numbers don't justify that the way I was looking at it, and maybe you could help me clarify why.
Well, the statute contemplates a use of property for charitable purposes. And again, in the Seven Hills Schools case, the Hubbard Press case, the receipt of proceeds, these donations, isn't declared to be charitable. It's the actual use of the property itself. What would a potential customer, how would they be an object of this charity? And as we've said before, in the overwhelming majority of circumstances, they're paying a price for this information, which contrasts starkly to the True Christianity case, to the Herb Society case.
Is there indication that the over $1 million in donations to this couple-to-couple league result in something of value being given to those who donate?
That's not in the record, Your Honor. I'm not aware of anything of that point. Any remaining time I'd like to save for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. Robert Myers on behalf of Couple to Couple League. The the Ohio Supreme Court in the Planned Parenthood case wrote that some or even many of the beneficiaries have the means in whole or in part to purchase the services or goods received in the marketplace, or that some consideration is exacted from them on receipt of the benefits, has never, nor should it ever, tarnish the charitable character of the enterprise. That was this court in 1966 in the Planned Parenthood decision. This inexorable fact defeats neither the charity nor the tax exemption. The justices are absolutely correct. In 2002, the year for which this application was filed, Couple to Couple League had $1.7 million of total funds that came into the organization. Approximately $1 million to $1.1 million was generated from contributions. That's primarily the source of providing the services Couple to Couple League provides. Couple to Couple League is an educational organization. The purpose of the organization is primarily to teach the natural family planning method of birth control, which is the only approved method of birth control by the Catholic Church. It is an organization that teaches, and it is an organization that fosters the moral and theological principles that the Catholic Church supports in natural family planning. It is an educational organization at its heart. It teaches as at its heart. It has 1,000 couples who volunteer to assist in that teaching process all over the globe, primarily in the United States, but they have couples teaching all over the world. in the transcript at page 24, they talk about the program services that are necessary to provide that teaching service to couples all over the world. They have a cadre of volunteers, as I mentioned, 1,000 teaching couples, both here in the United States and throughout the world. They give seminars to clergy, seminars to physicians, and they provide conventions where they help to instruct and maintain their volunteer staff. They are constantly updating their materials and services for purposes of teaching the moral and the philosophical mission of the Couple-to-Couple League. The Couple-to-Couple League was spawned out of an encyclical by the Pope that talked about what was appropriate in the Catholic Church for couples and marriages as to how they could do natural family planning. And this was a organization formed as a nonprofit entity to teach that. It's a Christian-based organization, and it has as its mission the teaching of those fundamental principles.
How are the buildings in question actually used? Part is to warehouse the printed materials and other items that are sold. Is that correct?
The transcript indicates that about 25% of the warehouse facility was used for storing the materials.
And are there rooms there for instruction to couples, or is this principally the administrative offices for the organization, and the instruction of couples occurs across planet?
There are rooms and facilities in the offices to do those training facilities for the couples themselves, but it's primarily used for the staff to manage and oversee the services.
This is the administrative offices of this organization. Is that right? The administrative offices?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the national headquarters for Couple to Couple League in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the administrative offices are held there. All staff services for groups throughout the country are provided.
So more of the instruction would actually be to folks who are giving the on-the-ground instruction all over the world.
Most of the actual instructions occur in the homes of the couples who provide are the volunteer couples throughout the country. Couples come to their homes, and the education takes place there. The actual fees are fairly nominal. I mean, for a couple who is either in pre-marriage or a young married couple interested in learning these methods, they would sign up for one of the couple meetings. They usually take place over a series of months. The fee was about $70, and for that they received 4 months of instruction. They received all the materials, books, supplies, et cetera, necessary to practice natural family planning. So they were nominal cost. While they did charge more than their out-of-pocket cost to produce these materials, it was in order to help support the necessary services to provide their mission. But most of the money that came in was from donations and contributions, not from the sale of books or supplies.
So the tote bag in question, that's just a tote bag that carries
says,
the materials
said,
that you...
Correct.
And a thermometer.
Said couple-to-couple league on the tote bag, or the coffee mug said couple-to-couple league, natural family planning, something of that nature. That's correct. This organization isn't any different than almost any educational organization in the country, whether it's a grade school or an elementary school of some type, a high school or a college or university. They charge some fees for tuition. In this case, very nominal. They charge some fees for books and supplies, but most of the money that's generated to run that organization is coming in from donations and contributions.
Do they have an internet program now that they use for teaching purposes? Or
they do, in fact, Your Honor. They've developed an internet program where people can go on. They have
And they put that together in this building?
They do. All the materials are written there. All the materials are reviewed there. The books, the internet. They're doing a lot by internet today, in fact. And they have charts and different things you can use on the internet. The natural family planning is a symptothermal method where you test the woman's when she's likely to conceive, and that the concept is that you lovingly avoid intercourse when the woman's likely to be fertile, and that way you can plan your children. There's also an issue involving breastfeeding for children. That is a natural form of avoidance of pregnancy when women tend to breastfeed for a period of time after they deliver. That tends to reduce their ovulation, and therefore it's a period of time if you breastfeed where you generally do not get pregnant for a period of time after delivery. And they teach all of this. They do studies of it, and their materials deal with that. And those teachings and the methods they use are consistent with the Catholic Church's teaching on what is appropriate and not for practicing Catholic couples. And they try to accomplish that. The Internet is an interesting issue because it shows the very fact we're not a for-profit organization involved in commercial work, because we abandoned selling materials other than our own because of the Internet. What we attempted to do is, couples over the years have come to us and said, in addition to the basic course materials that you utilize, what else could we be reading to help us raise our children, to help us, you know, lead moral lives in a Catholic tradition? And so they have reviewed, analyzed other materials, and they've recommended them, on their website. And they used to, as a courtesy, sell those materials to the couples that they were interested in purchasing them. Now that they're available through the Internet, they don't even do that. They just refer them to commercial sites and say, we recommend this book. Here's where you can buy it. If we were a commercial enterprise interested in generating profits, we wouldn't do that. We'd be selling them ourselves, trying to generate profit. But we're not interested in profits. We've never been interested in profits. We have a mission, and we're interested in carrying out that mission. In 2002, we lost money. In 2003, we lost money. In 2004, we lost money. And you know, we had money built up from prior years of contributions and donations, which were used to carry us through. In some years, at the end of the year, the expenses are slightly less than.
And when you say you lost money, by definition, it means that the monies gathered from the activities that they're citing, together with the charitable contributions, did not meet the operational expenses of the organization.
Right, the cost to provide those services for those couples all over the world. That's exactly right. So we're not really a for-profit organization, but at the end of the day, to get to the end of the year, did you have enough money to cover those expenses to provide those services? And generally, we do not. And then you have to have capital campaigns or fundraising drives.
I'm just cautioning you that when we hear the term "we lost money," we tend to think of it as more in a for-profit kind of thing. Your definition of losing money is that you didn't get enough contributions in.
Sure. It's a classic definition of a charity that's losing money. We didn't bring enough contributions to cover our required expenses to provide our services. You know, private schools have that problem all the time.
If you were going to provide your services based solely on the fees and the cost of goods and services, you'd have to raise those costs of the items that you sell and your fees by
a factor of approximately 5 times, Your Honor. And I'm not sure that would quite break even, but it would be at least a 5-time factor over what we're doing. It's basically it's really asking the couples to make a small contribution towards the thing. When you're asking a couple to pay $100 for the books, supplies, materials, and education, you think about it, you're not asking very much. If you go down to Xavier University and you look at a credit hour of time, they want $450 for one credit hour of time. So it's a very nominal cost just to ask them to, in effect, make some kind of contribution towards what they're receiving to help us defray the cost of providing these services to them. But I would guess it's about 5 times what we're charging to try to break even. So
what is the reliable evidence in the record that supports the decision of the BTA? Because really the question for us is whether or not that decision is supported by evidence contained in the record.
Well, the mission and the work that we do was explained in depth during the course, and it's in the transcript. It clearly satisfies the charitable purpose component. The issue is whether it's exclusively or primarily charitable purpose. We believe it's solely charitable purpose because, as the majority found, the core of what we do is to teach and to teach this methodology. The materials that are sold are simply part of the teaching process. The primary thing sold was a book called The Art of Natural Family Planning. That is the core material and core educational book that we provide as part of that educational course. The Seven Hills case, which has been cited twice, is a completely different type of situation. There, Seven Hills School set up a clothing sale process where people donated clothes. They sold the clothing to generate revenue for their organization.
Your point is that the materials are incidental to the instruction, which is the core mission of
couple. In our case, the materials are critical to the core mission here, which is to educate on natural family planning.
And so the commissioner's reliance on how much you gave away in 2002 versus how much you gave away in later years, you say, is misplaced. He seemed to spend a lot of time in his brief talking about the lack of evidence in the tax year 2002 for what you gave away versus what you gave away in later years. You had more evidence of that. So you think that argument is irrelevant to our?
I do think it's irrelevant, Your Honor. I don't think it matters. While we were able to find specific, because we started tracking it later, how many couples went through the program and weren't charged at all. In 2005, 2006, we averaged between 7,000 and 7,500 couples in a year, which if you think about it, it's like having a university with 14,000 to 15,000 students that year. Mm-hmm. And we, I think, had 150 approximately couples that didn't pay anything because they couldn't afford it. And we had also reduced rate couples, but we didn't track that. So we knew in 2005 with the materials and the instructions we gave about 46,000 away. In 2000, I think in 6 it was somewhat less. It was close to 30,000. We didn't really track the partial fee things because our mission has always been to provide that service and that education regardless of ability to pay. Frankly, most couples who are young engaged couples or newly married couples have the ability to pay $100. It's not hard for them to do that because we're not asking a lot of money. It's not like going down to the university and having to pay thousands of dollars in tuition and thousands of dollars in books. It's a very nominal fee. So from our standpoint, their argument that we didn't give away enough of it is sort of a red herring. We don't think it's applicable. We were doing a charitable work throughout. We do this exclusively for the charitable purpose of the mission of this organization. If a couple can't pay $100 for the program, we just provide the program. Most couples can. But the cost is a de minimis part of the operating budget. As the court has already pointed out, a number of the justices have mentioned it, the cost of these of the tuition materials is a de minimis, it's less than 30% of our operating fees of our total operating budget. So, you know, it's not a valid argument. And I think that there's plenty of evidence in the transcript that supports the decision of the majority. And as they point out, if what we're providing in our tuition and from our books is to provide the core mission of our charitable mission, then we are doing what is we're using this primarily for charitable purposes, consistent with this court's prior decisions. And so,
are you saying that the actual amount that is being generated would only be important if, say, instead of the materials for your core purpose would be, let's use as an example, tax planning. If you had a bookstore that was giving other materials related to financial help for couples, then potentially you would look at that and say, is that a de minimis amount that would defeat or an amount that would defeat the charitable purpose?
I think that's correct, Your Honor, because essentially our core purpose is this education mission. And all of the resources we have go to provide that core purpose. Only a small part of that is the recovery of some money and tuition and sale of books and supplies. Most of the money is through contributions and donations. And so all of what we generate goes to our core mission. And so whether or not in effect, we're really giving away far more than the amount you calculate by saying, well, we didn't charge 150 couples the $100 fee or the $200 or whatever it is. Because all of our money goes to provide that core mission. So they're really not calculating it correctly when you think of it in those terms.
Thank you, Mr. Myers.
Thank you very much.
Mr. O'Rourke, you've reserved a little over 2 minutes.
Thank you. There was a lot of talk about the mission. I would just like to bring us back to the statute. The statute says use. It's a verb, mission, not a noun. And we would submit that the property is not being used for charitable purposes. They relied on the Planned Parenthood case. In that case, 89% of the people that availed themselves of those services did not pay the full cost for the services. Here, we don't even know if a sliding scale exists. We have the declaration in the Constitution, but we don't know how that was ever communicated to the people that were interested in receiving those services. And they only created a formalized financial assistance policy 5 months from the hearing. We still have no testimony or evidence as to how that was proactively communicated to people that would be interested in receiving these services. All we are asking is that you advise people that there is financial assistance available. They did not do that in a proactive manner. Justice McGee-Brown, you brought up the point about the 2002 tax year. When you file your application, you put down the tax year that you are seeking exemption for. They sought it for 2002. And then there was a discussion about later years. They provided some evidence that did quantify the extent to which they provided these free services, free instructional classes. What they did to calculate that number, they went through and found all the zero sales. And we don't know from that document whether those were given to people for an inability to pay or given for a volume discount. And there was testimony in the record at page 36 of the supplement that they gave this stuff away in volume discounts, or whether it was given away to volunteers that were teaching the classes. And as for the instructional classes that were given away for free, we have only 3 tax years, and at best it was 1.5% to 2%. They claim they're holding themselves out as an educational institution. That may be the case, but they have not sought exemption for that separate statute, which provides an exemption for educational purposes. They are claiming that they're using the property for charitable purposes, and we would just like to reiterate the 4 factors. They're selling third-party merchandise that's elsewhere available in the marketplace. They're selling at a price well above cost. They're giving very little of this away on a free or reduced fee basis, and they undertook no proactive attempt to communicate a practice or policy of giving these items away on a free or reduced fee basis. We would respectfully request that the decision be reversed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our opinion.